Cyber threats are rising, and AI is reshaping everything. Are benefits advisors prepared for what's coming next? Let's get into it.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
And I'm your host, David Saltzman, to help us understand how cybersecurity and AI are reshaping the health insurance landscape. We've invited Daniel Metcalf. Daniel is president of CyberFin and co-leads NABIP's new Cybersecurity and AI Task Force. Daniel, thanks for being on the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast.
Oh, honored to be here. Thanks for having me, David.
Before we get started, would you talk a little bit about the task force and its goals and who its members are?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a NABIP-led task force where we're advancing industry's approach to cybersecurity and artificial intelligence. Through targeted education, actionable insights, and advocacy, we equip professionals to protect clients, manage risk, and adapt to rapidly evolving technologies. These issues are already reshaping privacy, access, and trust across the entire health system. So our goal is to get as much information and as many services out as possible for the individual health insurance benefit provider, the group benefit provider, the MGAs, everyone that's involved within NABIP, to make sure that they have everything that they need, not only to move into to the future, right? To move in artificial intelligence, to move in with their tech stacks, to go to the next level, what's necessary in order to do business and to maintain their business, but also find ways that they can help their clients, right? You know, something we'll probably talk about today, David, right? And also bring more and more education and visibility to what's going on from a cyber risk standpoint, because those are only getting more and more complicated and sophisticated, and it's getting a grander reach than anybody ever thought just in the last year or so. Our team is started by, and it was a brainchild of Callie Idias, who's on the board of trustees, and she's a Region 4 president. Her and I have been friends from way back, and was like, Daniel, this is really, you know, everything that you're speaking about, you're coming out and you're meeting with a lot of the different affiliates across the country with your CE course. We really need to create a task force with other individuals and other people to really start to build this out. And so that we can bring this right into the, you know, right into the offices of everyone involved. And so it's myself and Jasmine Keating, Brooke Wilson, and Kelly Lasadas from NABIP, directly. And then we have Joseph Saraceno, who's from Sino Cybersecurity. We've now added Ray Lynch from K2 Cyber. We're currently working on getting Scamnetics involved and their group at Scamnetics involved. And we have a couple of other artificial intelligence also members that are going to start to join as well here. While this pod, you know, whenever this podcast gets released, we'll probably have some more to be able to announce as well. So we're really excited. We just got started at the end of last year, really started really getting going this year. And we're extremely excited for what we're able to be able to deliver to NABIP.
And it's Kelly is a really, really smart lady. I've been privileged to serve on the board with her this year for a little bit. She's one of my favorite humans. So, And hopefully that fantastic stuff will rub off on the Nebraska legislature, because I know she's running for a seat. So
yes, absolutely. I hope that she gets a chance to be there.
Yeah, she'll be a great addition for them, just as she's been for NABIP. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of start talking about it. What prompted us to start this task force right now, and what are you seeing in the market that made this urgent?
Yeah, the reason why, well, obviously artificial intelligence is here and it's not going anywhere. So that's one of the areas, and the risks that now have started to come out based on, you know, artificial intelligence just only growing in use and growing in capabilities. But really where it started from was Callie and I were having a conversation as well as with Joe about how much lack of education there's available for every member within NABIP, right? How the lack of education, the lack of services that are available to their clients to be able to protect themselves, right? From all that's going on, from the, you know, from those that are from employees to aged individuals, like what's going on in their cybersecure AI world, right? And we're like, we need to come up with this task force. We have to start to come up with a way to get this education out there so that people understand that there are now tools and resources available to them to help them protect themselves, to help them mitigate some of the risks, to safely start to use artificial intelligence with all how regulated we are as an industry, you know, and everyone within NABIP, that giving them the right tools and information necessary to make sure that they can stay protected and compliant at the same time. And bringing in those people who have built out educational materials, who have been able to build the right services and products in place to get those out in front of everybody. And she's just like, hey, I can't do it alone. Can you start help recruit some other folks? It was wonderful to get the other NABIT member, NABIT team involved as well, so that we can start to spread this out. Because, and I'll tell you in the end, I'll give you a couple of quick examples. Two in particular, one business and one personal. We have seen an increase of over 50% of new attacks against agencies. These attacks are heavily away from the whole ransomware part of things, right? Where everyone kind of built themselves from the ransomware side. It's all social engineering. And that social engineering, and it's a playbook that they're running over and over and over again. And we saw a benefit agency last year, 5 employees, all mainly in the individual benefit space, but also had a few small group clients as well, who came to us and was like, hey, something weird's going on. There's something going, I don't feel right about what's happening here. Can you come take a look at it? And it turns out that they had given up their credentials. Someone had gone in and started quoting a bunch, going into quoting tools and downloading a bunch of personal information of their clients and doing all this. And now that they put not only themselves in a bad position, but they've also put their clients in a bad position. And all that they had to go through from, dealing with the regulators and dealing with, that breach itself and all that stuff. And it took them away almost 180 days away from just running their agency. And then all the fines and all the things that went with it. We're just like, and they're like, they didn't know that there were companies, that are part of the task force out there that are designed specifically for their size of a company, right? That makes it affordable, that makes it accessible, that makes it really protective, and has all the compliance and everything that goes along with it. So that's number one. And they just didn't know, and they wanted to get out there like, hey, there's companies out here that can help us, that they're designed specifically to help us. It's not just for the enterprise, big, large organizations. The second is near and dear to my heart, and also because of some experience that I've had and others as well, where these cyber criminals are now going after the more vulnerable people within the group. And those most vulnerable people are teenagers and those aged, right? Those are that are starting to get more in towards the retirement Medicare age. And they are doing very specific attacks. The one that is the most dangerous, to my opinion, are two. One is what we call pig butchering, and the other is what we call the beekeeper. And so we'll use pig butchering as the one that's most scary to me right now. And that one is where they are acting against, they're finding out people who are widowers or widows or recently divorced or something. And they're using schemes and scams to try to befriend you, be a part of our community, right? Or, hey, you're recently retired and you're joining our golfers going, whatever it is. And they try to befriend you using social engineering attacks, and they start to befriend you and get you, hey, you should join this little investment club that we've got going on here, right? We're all buying a little bit of Bitcoin. Like, you should see, I put in $100, I made 150, Then the next thing it's, oh, I put in 1,000, I made 2,000. And they have this, it's really intricate. And next thing you know, you put a couple hundred here and a couple hundred there. And then they convince you to move a $90,000 CD. And that's one of the examples we saw. Move the $90,000 CD over, and then all of a sudden it disappears. It never existed, right? You can't log in anymore. You reach out to your bank like, hey, I'm not sure what's going on. You're like, well, you moved the money. Like, that's not on us. And next thing you know, this person's now at a $90,000. Didn't tell anybody about it, right? They're all embarrassed. They don't want to tell anybody about it. And that scheme just goes on and on and on. Beekeeping is very similar in the same area, where they start to reach out to you and they make it look like your computer has been attacked. You clicked on something and it looks like your computer's been compromised, right? Call this 800 number right away so that we can help you fix this compromise. And they tell you all this stuff about how, oh yeah, and you know, they stole money out of this account. They stole money out of this account. And that's because of recently the Experian has been hacked, right? So they are getting people's, they have access to people's credit reports and they see the bank accounts on there. And then they can actually say things like, hey, your bank account has been compromised, right? And they in some random bank account that's out there, and they're like, oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. And they start interacting with them. They give them access to their computer. Even scarier, they give them access to their phone, right? So once they take it off their computer, that not a lot of people have any type of protection on their phone. And so now they've got access to accounts and they have access to different things to continue on with that. It's getting really, really intricate. And as a group, we need to continue to show people, hey, these are what's going on in the market, right? This is what's going on out there. And this is the way that you can help protect yourself.
You know, it's interesting. We are recording this podcast on a Monday and we were supposed to record it on a Friday. And the reason that we didn't record it on a Friday was because I got B-kept, I guess. And it was only fortuitous that I tried to get in touch with Daniel to say, hey, my computer's gotten hacked. I'm going to have to reschedule the interview. And Daniel's first words to me were, hang up on those guys. The sophistication of it, there were tells. You know, I was on with them for a little while. There were tells. For example, they brought the Federal Trade Commission in because they said my bank account had been used to buy child porn. And when I asked the guy from the federal, allegedly from the Federal Trade Commission, where he was located, he said, New York. I said, oh, I think I've been by the office. What's that address? And he gave me the address on Pennsylvania Avenue with a Washington, D.C. zip code. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, this is just too weird. And then I happened to be on the phone with Daniel. So it's happening to everyone, but the sophistication of it was just absolutely mind-blowing. And Daniel's getting me fixed up. We'll talk about, I guess, how that kind of works. But so I don't have that problem again. But it was scary, you know, when we all depend on these goofy machines. And they had even convinced me that my phone had been hacked, which you can't do that. But
right,
they had convinced me. So, and what they wanted to do was keep me from calling my bank. They wanted to spoof a call to my bank. It was phenomenal. I'm amazed, but I guess, you know, they always come up with, this scheme is way more than the Nigerian prince who needs a loan.
Absolutely, right? And because of artificial intelligence, they can get more information about you in a shortest amount of time possible. They can figure out more things about you, kind of understand. They even know that you're on a Mac. I mean, there's so much that they can do, right, David, that they could create this whole story and this whole, and they make it sound so real because mm-hmm. they can in real time get sentiment, right? The same tools we might want to use as a salesperson, they're using the same on their side, right? Sentiment like, oh, yep, he's starting to panic, or oh, yep, he does have that account. And they're listening the whole time with this AI right in front of them to kind of move the trick forward, right? Now think about that of, you know, trolling somebody for 6-7 months on Facebook in a Facebook community, or what they possibly could do with some of this information. It's pretty powerful. And you're a pretty tech-savvy person, right? You know, you've been around it enough. Take some of your clients, or you know, people that are listening to about their clients right now, and what's their tech savvy level, right? What would they would just know to call the 800 number, right? That's what we do. And they're going, oh, you need to log into my computer, no problem, right? Like, oh, so thank you so much for helping me. You know, oh, I'm talking to somebody with authority. It's a little bit different, you know. So we have to think about others that don't have that same level of acumen that you and I might have.
So I know one of the core goals of the task force, and your goal in particular, is helping members navigate emerging cyber risks. And we've talked about a couple of them. Yep. What are some other big threats against agents and brokers that they should be paying attention to today?
Yeah, most of them are going to be right now in trying to manipulate you into giving up some type of credentials or some type of data. And right now they're really focused on two people within your organization. It's going to be yourself at the top, right? So if you're listening to this and you're at the top, you're you're the chief financial officer, the CEO, the chief marketing officer, right? We all have these different hats in small businesses, right? So they're looking for those in the leadership positions. And they are going to try to do everything they can to either spoof somebody else, like to make a fake of somebody else within the organization, ask you to do something. They're going to act like a carrier because they're getting really good. They can start to figure out what carriers that you're a part of. They can start figuring out what other types of IMOs that you're from, other colleagues that you might send referrals to. They're getting really, really good in their investigation. So they can try these different ways and they're going to send you over like a, hey, here's a SharePoint file, right, that you need to log into in order to get this information about this big, small business or this business that we want to run benefits for. Or, hey, we have a big change at our organization and we're changing a bunch of names or a bunch of employees over and I need you to update my insurance based on my benefits based on this, right? And download this for me. And you end up giving over credentials. That's the second person they're looking for. The second person with the organization is someone who has access to the systems themselves. So they're thinking that the office manager, like the title's like an office manager, or they're looking for somebody who has access to your O365 or your Google Workspace or access to more than, some type of admin control, because then they can make complete replications of everything that they're doing. And then they can start acting as you. And they know, because if they act as you, they can get access into bigger fish, right? They can get access into a carrier, they get access into an MGA or something like that from that standpoint. That's what's going on in these risks. And they're using social engineering attacks and they're using special tools that allow them to get around your multi-factor authentication by you basically giving up your multi-factor authentication, right? You're constantly working with this, what you think's a real person, and you trust it to just hand, to click the button that, yes, that's me or whatever it might look like. So that's the emerging threat. The other big emerging threat is that they are trying to find ways for you to hand over money in ways that you think that you should be handing over the money, right? So they're coming up with small amounts, like $1,000 here, $2,000 here, sign up for this, download this app as part of the carrier, right? And you just, put in a couple $1,000, whatever it might be. So they're also trying to do that to your customer. So they're trying to act like you and say, oh, hey, this is just part of working with us as an agency. You download this application, you put a couple $100 or $100 in or $50 in or $25 in, and it allows us to do X, Y, and Z for you, right? Something to that effect. Or this is how you get your RX card and you put some money on an RX card or something like that. They're coming up with these different types of schemes. And they're not there to try to get $1 million off of each person. They're just trying to make, what we call micro pennies, right? Dollar here, $2 here, $25 there in a transaction. And it just keeps running in the background because they think they need it as being part of the agency and they just never think to call. So those are the two of the biggest emerging threats right now going on in the market.
So I know you're also focused on equipping agents with awareness and with guidance. What does being prepared look like for a typical broker?
Yeah, prepared is, they give the regulators have really given us a good framework to be prepared. And that is, you need to make sure that your infrastructure is being monitored 24/7, 365 by a cybersecurity guard who's going to be able to, right, that there's a full backup of all of your data, right? So if you put everything in the cloud, you need to make sure that it's being backed up and encrypted, even if it's in the cloud, right? If it's on your computer or on a server or somewhere, that we've backed it all up and it's encrypted and that you can recover it. You also have to have the ability to have a written information security policy in place and an incident response policy in place that says, this is what happens and how we use the internet, and this is how we use artificial intelligence, which we haven't gotten to yet. This is how we respond to an incident. So if you remember the old fire plans, right? Back in school, we had the fire plan, we had a little drawing, what happens if there's a fire? You have to have that, what happens if there is to be a breach. And then also you have to be able to know who you need to report to. So am I reporting to HIPAA? Am I reporting to CMS? Am I reporting to these states? Who do I need to be able to report to? And you have to have that inside your plan and be able to report, because I've talked to a lot of others in the Department of Commerce and Departments of Insurance, and they've said the same thing. We're not going to go on a witch hunt to see who has and doesn't have things, unless you're in the state of New York with NYDFS. But if a consumer turns you in before you turn yourself in, there is an issue, we're coming down like a hammer. So that is where we're trying to say, get this information out there. And we have resources that, as part of the task force, that can already have a lot of this built out for you, already managed for you, so that you can just sign up and have someone else do this for you instead of you having to figure out how to do it on your own.
So you mentioned AI, and it's a good time to shift to that. How is AI changing the health insurance landscape in ways that even brokers may not fully realize yet? And has this come at, on the other side, has this come at the right time for the industry?
Wow. Let's break it down in two parts for me. So here's what's going on in artificial intelligence in the industry. Carriers are spending millions of dollars trying to institute artificial intelligence and adopt it in a way that they can better understand their business, but also on how they can expand their business without having to add a lot of resources, right? I started to see some recent studies around how it's in the hundreds of billions of dollars in labor in order to run $500 billion in premium, right? So if you look at that math, carriers and IMOs and other organizations out there, they are looking at ways, and the government are looking at ways of how do we run that much premium but not have to use as much dollars in labor. And that's where artificial intelligence is really going today, right? On doing a lot of that. On the flip side, artificial intelligence is allowing brokers to be able to work with more customers, right? And expand their books at lightning speed and at lightning scale and amazing scale than ever before. Because with just a little bit more, they can do a lot more work, right? They can take on a lot more clients. And if you look at it, our jobs is to build and maintain the relationship with the insured to make sure they're getting everything they need for their health benefits, right? No matter where they're at with it, and make sure that all their risks are taken care of when it comes to their health from that standpoint as well. So that means that we now have more time to build more relationships and maintain more relationships because artificial intelligence can help us with all the other work that comes along with it, right? All the different types of managing the data, managing the, you know, the workflows, managing whatever you have to do in an agency to make sure that they have their benefits and up to date and everything that goes along with it. And so that is really kind of that fork in the road of what's going on in the industry right now. Is others are, you know, some people are out there trying to really work on what's it going to take to lower the labor cost in order to continue to maintain this, while others are trying to look at it of like, how do I end up growing my agency at scale? And I think this is at the right time because as there's so much disruption in Medicare, as there's so much disruption in health benefits and, you know, different plans and if products leaving and all this, this is a perfect opportunity to start to invest where you can now start to take on more volume, where you can start to build up those relationships. Because at the end of the day, the person that's going to have the relationships are the ones that are going to win in the new world of artificial intelligence, because that is what it can't replace, right? It can't replace the relationships. It can't replace your ability to grow your knowledge and your expertise in this space, that these are what our clients that we work so hard to protect, that is what they're looking for. They're looking for that expertise. They're looking for somebody to take care of them. They're looking for somebody to maintain that relationship at a time of need and a time of not a need. And so that is what artificial intelligence is allowing us to do.
It's fascinating. And I think we're going to see lots of other innovative ways. I got a friend of mine who has a mastermind cohort. And one of the things that he's been doing is teaching them how to market to CFOs. The problem is, they don't have a bunch of CFOs they can role play with.
Right.
He's creating an artificial CFO that they can role play with. Yeah. It boggles the mind. It's a lot of fun. Are there cautionary tales as well that we have to be aware of?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And if you just hear about what came out with Claude Mythos, and we don't need to go too deep into that, but I mean, the power that is coming out of this artificial intelligence is mind-boggling. It is unbelievable the power that comes out of it. And depending on what it gets access to and what it can teach itself and teach itself how to do, it can create a lot of holes inside the safety of our data, right? The safety of who we are, especially we're dealing with health data, right? Look how hard we've worked on HIPAA and all the different things of making sure that all that stuff is private. All it takes is one connection and all of it's gone. It's all someone else owns that information, right? And it can get dispersed in a matter of seconds. Look how fast, if anybody's used a ChatGPT or a Claude or Gemini, you see how fast the responses come back. Just think about how fast it can analyze that data and send it to where it needs to go. So we need to be careful there. I also think we need to be careful that it's still not perfected and there's still a lot of hallucinations, which I just like to call lies because I think they'd call hallucinations as, and it's not lying to be malicious at this point. It's lying because it's been taught to help us as fast as possible with the best as possible and to fill in the gaps. And so it's filling in the gaps, but it's not always accurate, right? So we need to be careful not to be using it for anything that, reasons why there's licenses and we're licensed professionals is that we go through a lot of significant training in order to be able to answer some of these questions and to maintain a lot of this. So we have to be careful about our E&O. We have to be careful about, you know, just letting it answer questions and willy-nilly trusting it that whatever comes out of there and we can copy and paste and send it to a client. I wouldn't do that, right? Because it's just not quite there. And we also have to look at what it has access to, right? Making sure that we put protections in place to not let it get access to a lot of our customer data, make sure it's anonymized, to make sure that it's not going to, someone can't just type into an LLM somewhere and say, tell me everything you know about XYZ's agency's clients, right? I mean, people are out there trying that today. If you don't know, they're literally going, you know, then they can run a list of 1,000 agencies in a matter of about 30 minutes and ask that question, see what spits out.
Yeah. You've also got to be careful because, you know, they only know what they've been trained on.
Right.
And, you know, if you want to try a really good example, go ask a political question at ChatGPT and ask the same question at Grok.
Yep.
And you'll get very different answers because ChatGPT seems to lean left and Grok seems to lean right.
Exactly.
So you've got, I guess it's back to trust but verify, like Reagan said.
Yeah, I go a whole different level. I do don't trust, verify. Because that's right now, like, don't trust what you see, verify a couple times, and then that will help you, you know, from that standpoint. And if you want to do even a fun one, though, not in politics, is we recently ran a test about who was going to win the Masters, right? Because the Masters just happened this weekend. So we wanted to show, like, how well is it at predicting, right? Predictive items. I mean, it had golfers in there that weren't even in the Masters this year, right? So, and it really struggled with, you know, what was going to happen from the third day to the fourth day and all this. So it was pretty interesting just to see, like, remember, it is only as good as what it's been trained, but it's sure going to give me an answer.
It didn't show anybody winning back-to-back Masters.
No, it did not predict. It didn't even, like I said, it had some people that weren't even in the Masters. So it was funny.
Wow. So if I'm an advisor, what are some practical, responsible ways that maybe I can start using AI in my own work, you know, kind of get my toes in the pool?
Yep. First of all, I'm sure most of you have already done this, but the first thing is you need to purchase a pro or a plus or some business plan with a large language model, as an example. And those are, you know, Claude or ChatGPT or Gemini or Copilot, whatever, you know, Grok, whatever that might look like. You have to get the pro version and you need to go and make sure you go to the settings and you toggle off, allow this to train other models, right? Or to help us train our models. That way, at least the information that you put in there is supposed to stay to what you're teaching your version of that pro plan, right? And today they're saying they're not sharing that information or letting that information go anywhere else other than your instance of that software. And then I would just start writing out all the tasks that you do over and over and over again and start thinking about what could a computer do, right, over and over and over again for me that isn't going to touch sensitive data, that isn't going to, you know, mess with the relationships and not look at anything that has anything to do with making insurance decisions, but all those other nagging tasks that go with it and start asking the tools, hey, how can you help me do this, right? How could you help me do this automatically for me? And then the third thing that I would do is I would create an avatar of myself. I would create the Daniel bot, like I have Daniel bots, right? I would, you know, here's the head of operations of my agency bot, whatever it might look like, and start teaching it all the things that person does within the organization, what makes you unique, what makes your processes specific, what, you know, start having it go out and learn all the information about the different products that you sell and about all the different markets that you are in and start to use it as a replication of yourself so that you can, again, strategize with it and you can have your someone that you can assist you, but also, as you mentioned, like with the CFO role playing, right? This allows your team members to be able to interact with as well, where you're not the roadblock of them asking questions about what's going on, right? You're not the roadblock in getting some of these workflows done. This allows people some autonomy to keep the agency going forward so you can add more relationships. You can add more relationships as you go along because now there isn't a roadblock or bottlenecks in the way to be able to maintain those relationships and whatever goes on with the, from that standpoint. Those are some practical ways that I would look at using artificial intelligence.
I think a lot of people who were early adopters figured out that they could get these chats to do, these large language models to do some work for them by popping in AP calls and that kind of stuff. But now we're starting to talk about these CLAW models. And there's been a lot of back and forth that they're ready for prime time. They're not ready for prime time. They make changes to your computer system that you can't undo. Where do you stand on that today as we stand?
Because I'm also part of a cybersecurity company and a data compliance company, I stand on the fact that if you can build these open CLAW systems and it's not going to have access to sensitive data and it's not going to have access to other tools that you don't own, like a carrier quoting site or something to that effect, where they can, you know, turn it off, turn your workflows off, right? Block you from being able to do things. I would say go ahead and start to play around with it, right? I'd get my own device, right? So if you're going to get involved, I get my own device that all of these tools are going to work off of. I wouldn't have it work off my day-to-day device that has access to data. It's got to be all by itself. Has to, you know, build it out, test it out. There's nothing wrong with working with it, right? Is it going to be perfected? No. Do a lot of people go down this route and they find some productivity gains? Yes. Are they getting return on investment? That's still out to lunch. So be careful. Like, yes, it's here. It's not going anywhere. Right. So, yes, start to build these things out if you have an interest in it. Start to find somebody within your organization who's interested in it. Let's go build it. Let's allow them some autonomy to go out there and build some things and start to use it from that standpoint of it. But don't rely on it and don't give it access to things you wouldn't want to give it access to.
I think that's great advice. We've got about a minute left. So a last question. The big goal is making sure that agents are prepared and they're protected and most of all informed. So if somebody who's listening to this podcast takes just one action after our conversation, what should it be?
The first thing that I would do is I'd make sure that if anybody in my organization has, quote unquote, adopted AI, that means that they put any information into an LLM, right, into a chat, asked it to write an email, they copy and paste it and sent it to a client, you've now adopted AI. Right? Just that's what the rules say. So if you've adopted it, make sure you have a written information security policy, an incident response policy, that you've added artificial, all the rules about what tools that they can use, how they're going to use it, that access of data, how they're not going to use it, what data it doesn't have access to. Make sure you have, and everybody signed off on it, a plan if something were to happen, who to report to. That's the first thing that I would do from a protection standpoint. From a artificial intelligence, what should I do? Sign up for an LLM. Put the $20 a month in, you know, credit card in. Toggle it off. Start playing with it, right? And if you are already doing that and playing with it a little bit, write out that list, right? Write out the list of the things and then start asking it how you can help me, you know, complete some of these and try to work some of those workflows through it. And if you're not really interested in it, find somebody in your agency who is or your company that is and start to work with them. Because those that don't start to adopt it and start to use it on a regular basis, those are the ones that are going to be left behind. And it isn't a gap between, oh, if I wait 30 days and someone's 30 days ahead of me, that I'm only 30 days behind. It's 300 days behind. That's the multitude right now of scale that people who have already started to use it and using a day-to-day basis versus those that aren't. Those would be the two most practical things I'd say.
Well, and before you get into a situation like I was last Friday, get in touch with Daniel or watch very closely the work that's coming out of the NABIP Cybersecurity and AI Task Force, because they're there to serve you the same way that all of our committees and all of our task forces are. And there'll be great information coming your way.
Yeah, we're in the weekly newsletter already. We're putting out information and educational information there. We are offering some We're going to be offering some free cyber assessments. We're going to be offering some tool demos, some things like that throughout the year as well that you can come to. We'll put some information in the show notes, hopefully, where they can, if you have a concern today, right, how to get a hold of us so that if you have any concern today, like if the hair on the back of your neck, if you're running into a situation like David did and you want just somebody to call, we'll give you some information so that you can reach out to us and we can help you immediately.
Sounds awesome. Daniel Metcalf, president of CyberFin and the co-leader of NABIP's new Cybersecurity and AI Task Force. Daniel, thanks for a lot of really great information.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update, published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nabip.org.